The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by Hilltown Electrical. Hilltown Electrical deals with both domestic and commercial jobs. You can find them on Facebook or by contacting them on 07793 847 390. Hello and welcome to all you fellow D's out there. And let's face it, fans of other clubs who do love a wee listen. This is episode 87 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your usual co-host Paul Gray, but I've temporarily been promoted to host as Danny has welcomed a baby boy to his family. So firstly, a big congratulations to him and his wife on the latest addition to the Smith household. But enough about Danny and his inability to keep it in his pants. We've got some football to speak about. And in the wake of Danny's absence, I'm delighted to welcome not one but two absolute maverick guests, Jake Shaw and Ethan Hampton of the Dens Park Choir. Gentlemen, pleasure to have you both. How the hell are we doing?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for having us again. Who'd have thought it? We're back.
All right, great to be back.
I can't believe we've actually allowed you to come back, to be fair, after the last performance, but anyway.
At least we showed up. Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Hey.
We'll let him off. We might not let him off lightly during the course of this recording, but we'll let you off just this once, Danny, and that's it. No more. So, yeah, I think we're just going to get tore right in about this game, but I think we should probably get tore in about the pre-match build-up. Especially with regards to the, what was it you called it, Ethan? The what do you call the pitch?
The Dens Park Loch.
The Dens Park Loch, guys. What's the thoughts on it?
I had a line in my notes that if Joe Shaughnessy was going to score, the Irish pronunciation of his name is actually Shocknessy, so I was going to call him the Shockness Monster.
Jesus, I'm glad he didn't score now. I'm really glad he didn't score.
To be fair, I would have loved to have heard that on your commentary. I must admit, that would have been absolutely spectacular. But obviously, there was big worries about the pitch. You know, the club tweeting about that past inspection. I think it was that Thursday it was passed and deemed playable for a game on Saturday. Probably the first time I've ever seen anything like that. Obviously, all the speculation surrounding it, if it's going to be on, when it'll be on, where it'll get played. So, yeah, guys, fire in.
Obviously, it's no secret that Dens Park has drainage issues that are kind of somewhat, I think, they are, a lot of the elements are kind of out of the club's control. I've spoken to folk at the club that have explained to me that the way it kind of works is that the price alone to fix the drainage at Dens is in the kind of multi-million pound region, and it's just not feasible for what would be a short-term fix if you're looking to move into a new stadium anyway. But I've heard some folk even say that it's more to do with the city council's jurisdiction rather than the actual club, which I don't know much about. But obviously, I only bring that up because it's repetitive, isn't it? They talk about, it's not a one-off instance with Dens Park having to get a look in at the pitch inspections, and they're really riding that narrative really high going into that game. But I had a look at it, you know, across the four call-offs, and my feeling is I feel it is kind of somewhat blown out of proportion. You know, if you remember when we had the game called off against Ross County, that was called off due to the safety concerns for the travelling support. So that's nothing to do with the pitch. We then have the game called off against Aberdeen, where the club believe the pitch is fine. David Munro doesn't want the game to go ahead because he can't be arsed. And then, you know, the team train on the pitch to prove a point. So if it's not good enough to play on, how's it good enough to train on? You feel. And then, of course, the Rangers won. For me, the club, I think they asked for a delayed kickoff time, if I remember this correctly, which was denied. So their feeling was if they got a bit more time into the afternoon, the pitch had been fine. So between the four call-offs, it's not entirely a case that, oh, the pitch is a state. I feel it's a bit more nuanced than that, personally. So it's not going to be the last time we hear about this. Of course not. Going to carry it. Next time there's going to be a game called off or pitch inspecting or whatever, it's always going to come up. But for me, it's not really much of a proper dented issue.
I think you're right. I think blown out of proportions, absolutely spot on. Like, I think there's been a lot of hoo-ha made out about it. And I think the last game not being against Rangers, say we'd been playing Livingston at home or something, Saturday wouldn't have had the coverage that it had. I mean, Sky Sports, every 5 minutes on the Sky Sports News, had updates and updates and updates about it for a Dundee game against Motherwell. When was the last time that happened? It's just, it feels like, and I'm going to sound like a proper, I don't know, but it feels like the media putting the boot in at Dundee again just because they can. They found something to put the boot in against us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
that's exactly
conspiracy
the
theorists.
Across.
There you go.
Yeah, you're bang on, Jake. Yeah. Absolutely spot on, mate. And then you see all the supporters at different clubs going, forfeit, should be a forfeit. 3 points to them, 3-0 defeat, fine them, get rid of them. They should be renegaded, I think it was.
Renegaded. Back once again.
Absolutely. It was unbelievable. And obviously there was talk early in the week about, you know, it was the council that were going to be supplying the covers and stuff. But then it turns out it was Celtic, of all things. It was probably a wee favour after we didn't send that email. You know what I mean? So thanks, Celtic, for making sure the game was put on. You know, but
I like the picture. Scenario was Gordon Strachan sitting on the Celtic end of the table and says, "We'll give you covers at some point in the near future if you don't send that email." He stands up, walks to the Dundee end of the table, sits back down, and says, "That's a tremendous offer. I think we'll take it."
Except
where do we sign?
Jonathan Afolabi next season.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Brilliant deal. I don't know if either of you two, I don't know if either of you two heard about or listened to Mr. Kettlewell's pre-match interview on the BBC Radio, did you?
I heard about it. I wasn't listening, but I heard about it.
Unbelievable monery from the individual. Honestly, he kept talking about this. Motherwell have identified the problem, and then we spent $1.25 million on the pitch and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, it was almost like he was making excuses for, you know, potentially losing the game. But obviously that didn't happen. So I think we might as well just dive into the game, boys. Obviously, Ethan, you were doing the commentary. Good start for Dundee, must admit. I thought we started really well. We looked bright in the first half. And a cracking wee goal from Mr. Jordan McGee. What a player, by the way. What a guy.
Great choice of words as well to dive into the game. I was looking really forward to it.
Nothing gets past you, Ethan. Nothing gets past you. What a guy. But yeah, McGee, just for me, one of the guys again that just goes about his game, you know, just quietly does the job, but comes up with these goals. I'm sure he tweeted something like he scored 4 goals in these last 11 games. What's that all about?
For a wing back, yeah.
And they're all headers, are they not?
But probably.
Will you say anything?
Sorry?
I'm not too sure. Couldn't tell you. But yeah, McGee's goal. Great wee ball in from... It was Lyle that put the ball in, didn't it? And then Bakayoko.
And then the header
nice
back.
Beautiful.
Majestic. Absolutely. What a fucking brilliant assist, by the way. To first of all see it and to second of all pull it off. It's just... I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a great goal. Because he could very easily have gone for a goal himself. And sclaffed it wide. But to see McGee there ghosting in again, brilliant goal.
He maybe didn't actually see it. It might be a case that there's just a kind of sixth sense to it where they work on it so much. Because I think you've highlighted that quite a few times that, you know, Dundee need to weaponise that a lot more, and that maybe has been the case. Where if it's if in doubt, put it to the back stick and
McGee
hope
will be there.
Yeah. Telepathy.
That's the word. I love seeing that from strikers, you know, being unselfish like that. But I think that's been worked on. You're absolutely spot on there, Ethan. I think that's been worked on in the training ground there. First half, I thought we looked comfortable. I thought we were coping with what were, you know, hitting towards us and that. And the midfield was running the show. Portales was having a good game. Everybody seemed to be having a good game. You know, they seemed to be on it. and it was shitey conditions. We're obviously we're not gonna lie about that. I mean, the pitch, okay, big deal, but it did look playable. But the wind didn't help anything, so it was a tough game to play in. But second half started, and well, yeah, let's go right into McCowan's goal. By the way, unbelievable.
Are we going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he meant it? I think we will.
Absolutely meant that. Aye. Meant that.
There we go.
What do you think about it, Ethan? What do you think?
I think that's the first time I've seen like a corner scored directly from the delivery. So obviously caught everyone off guard, and I mean he's our top goal scorer across all competitions, so shouldn't be surprised that he's able to pull off these kinds of tricks, pulling fucking rabbits out of hats these days. Yeah, it was a great goal. And I actually thought at the time, you're right, we were well worthy of the 1-0 lead, but I actually thought at the time when we scored the second, it was somewhat against the run of play, because I felt at the start of the second half in particular, we're very comfortable with the idea of sitting off Motherwell, let them come at them, try and absorb the pressure from them, which, you know, I repeat all the time, I fucking hate saying that. I hate seeing teams sacrifice the front foot. But I thought to myself when that went in, off the back of that, I thought, that's maybe finally we're getting that rub of the green and today's going to be our day.
Yeah.
And obviously, yeah, spectacularly fell, landed on its arse and shot itself on a way down.
It was funny. Have
scored directly from a corner before?
Alice, nice that you've brought that up, Jake. I would like to hear, Ethan, have you got any idea on that?
I could maybe tell you last time I scored a cross, but not from a corner.
No. I was speaking with a boy, Robbie, who's Hugh Robertson, ex-Dundee player from the 60s, his grandson last night, and he basically told me that Hugh Robertson scored from a corner, direct from a corner, in a friendly game versus Liverpool on the 23rd of March 1960. And apparently this game was for the inauguration of the floodlight system that had been installed. So a bit of useless information for you. But where did I get that information from? The good old D archive. But Danny needs to update the goal scorer. He needs it because he's not got the goal scorer on it. It was a 1-0 victory for Dundee. But yeah, if anybody else can think of a Dundee player that's scored from a corner, fucking let me know, because I certainly can't.
Answers on a postcard. Absolutely. Manager of Liverpool that day, who do you think it was?
Was it Bill Shankly?
It was Bill Shankly. So it was Bob Shankly against Bill Shankly at Dens.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Shankly come out on top. Superb. What a bit of trivia.
How good is that? I would love a bit of trivia. Anyway, and yeah, then it seemed to be that the referee basically lost the plot. I must admit, when I was watching it live and I was listening to your commentary, Ethan, I don't think you were the best pleased with Mr. Dickinson, were you?
I was boiling, man. Like, see, I'd like to think that generally I'm quite decent at keeping quite composed for these things, but I can confidently say that Saturday is the worst I've been on comms for being not only bitter but just dejected, because I feel like it just kind of set the wheels in motion for the collapse, changed the complexion of the game, and I just don't understand it. Still, like, looking back on it, I don't understand the call, because for a start, I don't feel it's clear and obvious. I don't think anyone appealed for it. I think if we'd played on, no one was going to highlight it and say, "Oh, look, fucking Motherwell were missed out on this." I just thought it was complete nonsensical, and it's kind of similar to the Lee Ashcroft handball against Hearts, I feel, where it's an inch away from his hand, blasted into him. In this instance, though, Shaughnessy's got his arm behind his back and is actually trying to, you know, tuck it in, tuck it away, actively trying to get out of the way, and to punish him for that, it's just ludicrous, because I don't understand what he's meant to do in this scenario.
That's the thing. What is he meant to do? Like, you see it all the time nowadays when defenders are going in and they've got their arms behind their back and they're off balance and stuff. But with this one, I love how the picture showed it. Like, they went in like slow motion. You can see at the point where it hits his arm. But if you look at that just like straight, like as a photograph, you'd go, yeah, that's a penalty. But when it's actually played through, he's putting his arm behind his back. You know, he's actually trying to move the arm behind the back. And when it hits him,
making his body smaller, yeah.
Exactly. And Ethan, you're absolutely spot on. I don't think anybody appealed for it. Anybody?
They were wanting a corner after the volley goes over. They weren't asking for a penalty. They were asking for a corner. The Vale, who missed it, was pointing at the corner.
And we had a video on the Dens Park Choir page as well, where I've compared three handball instances. The Beningame for Hearts, where the ball has travelled as a cross, so he's got time, you know, a bit more time to react to it, and it still hits his arm extended across his body. We didn't get any reward for that. And the one at St Mirren, before we conceded the late second goal to lose the game, could have made it 1-1 with a penalty when Luke McCowan's strike was blocked with an arm. Again, defenders didn't know much about it, but you know, we were told with the Ashcroft one that because it's blocked, a shot on goal had to be given. So then you compare the Shaughnessy one to them two, it's just, I mean, we say it all the time, where's the consistency? But at this point, it is what genuinely is the handball rule? Because the fact that we've got three of these instances with completely different outcomes, it's just baffling. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows what the handball rule is now. It's an absolute shambles, honestly. But yeah, and then obviously the boy... who was it that took the penalty? Steele Bear, was it? Bear took it. Great save from a crack. And I'm sorry, but any save from a penalty is a good save. Do you know what I mean?
It is.
But then, obviously, the boy, was it Gent, I think
George
it was.
Gent, yeah.
Yeah.
He came up and bagged the equaliser. But then...
It's so then unlucky, the win. It bounces off the keeper's knee and right to the boy. It's so unlucky.
And well, we're going to get a free kick for that as well at one point.
Yeah,
it looks like caught off guard that on commentary. We're like completely left in the dark. Looks like we're getting a free kick 1 second, and then they change their mind to let the goal stand. And then you see on
because his leg wasn't in the box, just his shoulder, so he wasn't technically encroaching.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I'm going to put my dark blue tinted specs on and say it's a farce, and it should have been
a farce
given as a free kick for encroachment.
Absolutely, but you were spot on there. You were spot on there, Ethan. Like, you know, you were left in the dark. We were left in the dark watching it as well, because obviously McCracken, the goal goes in. McCracken picks the ball up and throws it out like he's away to go and take a free kick. Uh-huh. And then even the Motherwell players were walking about like, "What's going on? Is it given? Is it no given?" Like,
yeah.
Communication is key, but that referee clearly didn't have the right communication with the players. It was unbelievable.
And do you mind in the game, not long after the penalty, it looked like he decked Silla at one point as well.
Did he?
Not the ref.
You mind that? I brought that up with my brothers, and they were like, it was as if the Luke McCowan incident against Rangers. It was like Silla went to pick up the ball and drive forward, and then the ref got in his way, and then we've lost possession, and Motherwell went forward, and he waved to play on. And you know, me and Liam on commentary were just like, what is going on?
I don't remember that at all.
How dare he?
There needs to be an investigation into this. How dare he try and topple Mo Salah? How the hell's he managed that, by the way? The guy's an absolute unit.
Well, given that, it was impressive.
That is unbelievable. But yeah, and what was it? It must have been, what was it, 2 minutes later? I think it was 2 minutes later they went up the pitch and scored again with a hopeful punt up the park. And then again, Theo Bear, I thought, I'm telling you, I think he's a player. I really do. Remember him at St Johnstone, he was absolutely louping. And then I think he scored the first game of the season against us, didn't he?
He did, set him off.
Sure he did.
I'm off.
And he's an absolute unit as well. He gave Dundee a torrid time, but I mean, Donnelly, a lot of folks saying, you know, Donnelly should have brought him down. I don't think he could have brought him down.
Not without a red card if he brought him down, But he has to do better. Exactly. He has to be... His starting position's all off. He lets Bear get in front of him. And I like Donnelly. I'm a huge fan of Donnelly. But he didn't cover himself in glory. Neither did McCracken either, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. It was a very amateur goal to concede, I felt.
It was. Yeah. But the thing is, when he was going through, I thought McCracken saved three or four exactly like this scenario. It was one against Motherwell, first game of the season. And... I thought he's got it, and then Bear just takes it on his left foot and sells everybody the other way, and it's a goal.
I thought we were beaten really easy. Really easy there.
Absolutely.
And I think McCracken, it's not the best game he's had for Dundee, and obviously I'm a fan of him. I've spoken about him a lot. You know, he's punching, he's kicking, he's shot stopping, but there, just a big massive brain fart. I don't know what he's doing.
Hot in no man's land there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Donnelly, yeah, okay, he's got to do better, yeah. But I think the boy Bear just completely out-muscled him, yeah. But this just spelled, for me, it spelled the end. I just had a feeling that they were going to go and get the victory. And for me, and this might sound bad, but when the first goal went in, to go and concede that early, it's no good enough, right? But I feel like there needs to be like proper leadership on the pitch. You know, you've conceded the goal, right, boys? Keep the fucking head. And it was like, I don't know what it was. I just feel like we didn't hear that. Because then obviously we went on to concede that second goal. They could have had another probably two or three goals after they'd got their second as well. You know, so I just feel there was nobody there on the pitch like ready to grab the game by the scruff of their neck. But
it's a weird
that's
one.
That's my opinion.
It's a weird one as well in that regard, because I was speaking about it on Sports Zone yesterday. They asked me, just in general, for Dundee throwing away points or winning positions, they said, what do you put that down to? And I said, well, I would like to say it's naivety, being the newly promoted team in the Premiership. But then you look at that back line, and there should be enough experience there, I feel, across the board, for that not to be the case. All right, granted, John McCracken's a really, really young goalkeeper, and I think he's played more games at Dundee than anywhere else in his career. But across the board of the season, when it's mainly Portales, Lamy and Shaughnessy, I was just kind of left scratching my head, so that, well, I don't really know. Certainly there is an underlying issue in regards to that, because I saw Portales trying to send out that message, Docherty trying to send that message, calm things down, try not to be too rash, but obviously didn't work. We were all over the place for the last 17 minutes of the game.
I think it's spot on, mate. And I think something needs to be done. But I mean, what do they do to address that? Like, what can you do? Head scratcher for me. But it's worrying that we're... Many games have we conceded three goals? You know?
I don't want to do it. I don't want to count that, because it's...
That's a good few.
Far too many.
And it's probably just as well Danny's not on this one, because he probably would have rattled off every single game and gave all the stats and the goal scoring times and everything. But it'll probably come down to goals scored in the last 10, 15 minutes of games. And for me, obviously we were all frustrated after the result. I mean, obviously everybody was fucked off. We're not going to hide that. But it's just, it's frustrating. Mm. It really is.
I did feel that it was the perfect time after conceding the first goal. That's when you need things to calm down. I would have been quite big on seeing Boateng come on the park to play whistle and just try and contain as much as we can in that midfield. Mm-hmm. We only made the one change, though, with Michael Mellon coming off the bench. I want to say, was it for Tiffany?
Yeah.
So there is maybe an avenue there where we can sit and say that the game management wasn't set to perfection. Because I think you can't just blame certain individuals. It's a group effort, and that goes across the team, goes across the staff. Yeah. It's a shared responsibility. And I think they'll be the first ones to admit that as well. But certainly, as we said, for 17 minutes, we're all over the place. Nothing was really done to address it, or nothing at least efficiently effective enough to address it, because it was one-way traffic. And as soon as it got that equaliser, as you say, you felt it was only going to go one way, and it did. Motherwell, of course, did at the end, at the death, grab that one and go.
Spot on. I felt like some of the defenders dead in their legs. Obviously, heavy pitch in it. Coming back to that, people are knackered. Why not bring Dodgson or Astley on, who seems to have fallen off the face of the earth, and just shore it up. Sorry, you're spot on with Boateng, and I thought Mellon was the wrong sub as well. One of his first touches was a poor pass, and he seemed disinterested after that. So I think it was the wrong sub, in my opinion. But hindsight's a wonderful thing.
It's funny that when we signed Ryan Astley, we were all saying about how Ryan Astley fucking never going to give you up, but it sounds like he's been given up on. Like, I think he's came through the door.
Never going to get a game. Fucking hell. Honestly, it's for me as well. I mean, obviously, folk are going to look at the defence and going to look at the goalkeeper and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it starts with the midfield as well. I don't know what happened to the midfield in the second half. It's like they just disappeared. Even Salah, that's probably Salah one of his worst games. You know what I mean? But like, for me, I probably would have took off Cameron for Boateng, but that's me. Like, I wouldn't have bothered taking off Tiff. But he you've probably hit the nail on the head there, Jake, by the way, about the heavy pitch and that. The players were probably knackered, but Motherwell did all right. You know what I mean? And they made good subbies. They made good subbies, and their midfielders were just going through our midfield like they weren't there, you know? But yeah. But then obviously they got the winner, didn't they? Big Moses on his debut. Where are they plucking him from? Do you know what I mean?
No.
He just came out of absolute obscurity on a free transfer. I think it was like last month or a couple of months ago. couldn't believe it. Heartbreaking. No wonder folk were leaving. Eh?
There is maybe, though, a silver lining with all this, as mad as it will sound. Right?
I'm listening.
Because
I will not shake these happy clapper allegations, right, Ethan, if you come out with this.
No,
here we go.
I was analysing all the potential scenarios it would take for Dundee to finish in the top six. Now, of course, the way it looks now is that Saturday is the big one, because you can't really expect Dundee to necessarily beat a title chasing Rangers at the end on Wednesday night. You feel it.
What do you mean?
Down to this Saturday clash at Pittodrie. But now Motherwell have to play Hibs in Motherwell. The top six dream for Motherwell is still achievable, because if Motherwell beat Hibs and we would get beat off Aberdeen, I think they've got the better goal difference, so they would get above us in the top six. So if we'd actually held out for a 2-2 draw and got the extra point, Motherwell suddenly can't finish in the top six anymore. So if that were the case, then it only really gives Hibs that more incentive in that game. So that's what I mean by this bizarre silver lining, because now this also applies to Wednesday. We're in this really awkward situation where arguably a draw against Rangers could be a worse result than getting beat by them, because you know, it could completely change the way that Motherwell go out to set up against Hibs.
You're fucking spot on, mate.
By the way, that's...
I don't even know what to say.
Drinking. That's tremendous. Fair enough, aye.
Who got up to my veins?
Honestly, when I was looking at that, I thought that is such a bizarre scenario to find yourselves in. But then I suppose the kind of good thing about this is that when we play Rangers, we often say that we want to see teams have a go at them. Well, now, yeah, fuck it. Have a go at them. Literally nothing to lose here. As we say, if a draw is worse than defeat in that circumstance, then yeah, go out for it. Gun them down.
I think we should go for it as well. Absolutely. Fucking right.
Oh, we went for it against Celtic, played two up front, went well.
It went very well.
Oh.
It might be different if we have Bakayoko and maybe Tiffany playing up front, as opposed to Baka and Maine, the slowest guys on the planet, you know? But I've seen a few folk going, look, Dundee shouldn't really be bothering about this game on Wednesday against Rangers and just go gung-ho on against Aberdeen. Nah, I'd be going gung-ho on both. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Top six is still there. It's just, for me, see, the most frustrating part of that, you know, defeat on Saturday was not just the defeat, was the fact that St Johnstone beat Hibs. You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen.
The planets aligned there, and we just fucking chucked it. But do you know something? Here comes the happy clapper again. How boring would it be to have had that tied up with two games before? No, we like a bit of drama, don't we? Like a bit of showmanship, if you like.
It's the Dundee way, mate.
It absolutely is.
It's
absolutely
always been the case. We don't do things normally.
Just look
back. We like
to
do things the hard way.
The most ridiculous game ever for the last game of the season. Why not?
It's great being a Dundee fan sometimes, yeah. Oh, it really is.
It's great, but on Saturday night I was depressed, like, I stopped making light of that, but
anyway. It took me a while to get over it. I must admit, it took me a while, but you know, about 7 or 8 pints after it, I was okay. It was fine. I was okay with it. But yeah, so on to basically, the Rangers game on Wednesday.
Yep. Rangers.
Here we go. Can't wait. Obviously, they've just drew against Celtic. I think Rangers are still sitting second, so they with victory they could potentially go top. I think they're going to turn up. I think they're going to turn up and put on a show. Like,
aye, Aye. It goes one of two ways, though, doesn't it? It goes one of two ways. They turn up, they turn us over comfortably, they're top of the league, or because they've not been, you know, fighting for titles for a couple of years, you know, they've been a wee bit off it. They're not used to, you know, the pressure, and they could buckle. I don't think they will, but they could. Ever the optimist, you know, they might shite it if they're nervous, but we need to show up regardless. It's not about them. It's about how we play, and if we show up, then you never know.
Yeah, you need to hope that the defeat is also kind of spurred something in these players to get them riled up for playing on Wednesday. Because another point that I often repeat every season is that every team that ever accomplishes something, they need a low point to bounce back from. Last season, when we got beat 3-1 against Partick Thistle at home, you know, there's a lot of folk think that we chucked at that point. And the result of that was it riled up the team, it got them fired up. And then I think it was a 10, maybe a 12 game unbeaten run to go on and win the league at the end of the season. There's no exception. Every single team that's ever accomplished something has had that low moment. And you got to hope for Dundee that the Motherwell defeat will prove to be that sort of turning point in that regard. Get fired up for wanting to play Rangers, wanting to prove a point. And I think there is a bit of something kind of unsettled business, because it's funny that with Tony Docherty, with praise of how consistently well-organised we've been in the league, but yet when we play the Old Firm, where you'd think organisation's the biggest thing to have, we've been turned over far too often. So maybe this is all the right recipes coming together for Wednesday to really have a go and do something. Rangers won't like playing on our turf. And we've got, I would like to think, a semi-decent history of playing Rangers at home, at least in relatively recent years, enough to maybe still have that sort of a, not advantage, but something to kind of play over in their heads.
I reckon James Tavernier's still haunted by Craig Whiting and Henrik Oyama that day. I mean, that was tremendous. I'll hark back to that every single time you bring up Rangers. That was great. Craig Whiting had his pants down for 90 minutes.
I could see something like Tiffany being able to do that, mate. I really do. I'd like to see him running at him.
Yang the day. Yang just ran at him. Was it Yang? Or Maeda, rather. Maeda, sorry. I just ran at him. And didn't he came up today? So stick Tiff on him. Run at him. See what happens.
I've said this numerous times before when folks speak about Tavernier. I don't think he's a defender at all. And obviously Rangers will have the bulk of possession. That's what tends to happen. But anytime we get the ball, I think just run at him. Just fucking run at him. Obviously, they'll no doubt. Absolutely.
We've got good presses in that front line. Bakayoko, Tiffany, McCowan, all good and capable of doing it. Just they always hate it when teams get in their face. And I noticed that. When that team from Cyprus got a result at Ibrox, I genuinely believe a big part of that was that they didn't have a negative mindset at all. They thought, oh, it's Rangers, let's go prove ourselves, let's go prove a point, take the game to them. And they hated it. They're used to teams here kind of rolling over and hiding for 90 minutes, trying to, you know, pray for a 0-0 draw. Nah, okay, get in their face, make them uncomfortable, make it as awkward as possible. If you're going to get beat, at least make a complete bastard of a game for Rangers to beat you in, at the very least.
Love it, mate. Get you in the footman dressing room. to the pre-match footman team talk, honestly.
Just do your poem and get them up fucking riled up.
Yeah. I'd love to hear another poem from you, Ethan, but we'll get one after recording.
We have a segment on DPC. Have you not seen it, Ricky Burns?
Oh, yeah.
I have. Yeah. Yes, I have.
Well, there you go. We put out... We... Ethan puts out regular poems and they're tremendous every time. I look forward to it.
Only when we win, though.
Yeah, oh, fucking obviously.
Very talented individual, so you are, must admit. But yeah, that's that, what we've got on Wednesday against the Rangers. I don't know how I feel about it, but I really want to just see Dundee turn up. That's all I want, because in the games against Old Firm this season, we haven't. And, you know, folk are always going, oh yeah, these games are free hits. No, they're not. We need to turn up. And like you says, just put them under pressure. Make them make mistakes. I don't think they're that spectacular at the back, but they've got a good keeper. good keeper in the sticks. So if we can get through the defence, we need to get through him as well. So, but yeah, 3-0 Dundee. Okay.
Nice, moving on. Moving on.
And then we've got Aberdeen on the Saturday, which, like you says, is probably the game that we're... It sounds bad, but it's probably the game that all the fans are really focusing on, you know, when... But, because I think it's a winnable game.
It's the biggest game of our season so far by some distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we've not won there in 20 odd years as well, so, you know, no pressure. It's
about time you break a hoodoo, innit?
It is. And I mean, I think we were unlucky the last time we went up there and never got the victory. Remember when Beck. Yeah. Fuck. Honestly, see that Owen Beck chance where he missed it, and that to me is like the Zach Ruddin against St. Johnston when he went near post.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a winnable game. Look forward to it. My old boy will be going up to the game. Sadly, I cannot make it as I am working. But very much looking forward to it. And I think you're spot on there, Jake, with it being the most important game of the season. That is. Mm. I don't know. We might beat Rangers and
it'll be a nothing game.
It'll be a nothing game.
Fingers crossed. I'd love that game to be a nothing game. I really would.
I do think we can win it, but Tawdry. I don't think they're anything special. Obviously, having a bit of a poor season. But they've got nothing to play for now, do they? They'll have places, obviously. They want to play for places for the Cup semi-final coming up. But in terms of like the league campaign, it's
done for them. Yeah. It's just, I think they're safe from relegation, but they're also, well, they can't really do anything more. They'll be aiming, hopefully, to be best of the rest, you know. But their form is so patchy. Like, they didn't beat Livingston at the weekend, albeit it was a bohe of our decision to stop them beating Livingston. But
oh, yeah.
It was, they didn't beat Livingston, who...
Everybody beats Livingston.
Honestly, I could get 11 guys for the pub and show up and beat Livingston.
They've not beaten us this season as well, I suppose. Come to think of it. Dropped Tawdry, beat them at Dens. And a very one-sided game at Dens, actually, for that matter.
It was. 1-0 flattered them.
Yeah.
So why go get in their faces again like we did? Just be on the front foot, take the game to them. And I think you'll see us, you know, 3 points. But it's a different game up there.
It certainly is. So I'll go 6-0 Dundee.
6-0 Dundee, that's fair. I'd like to see you go down the middle with that one.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. I'll take a 1-0 victory and that'll be that. That'll be that. Absolutely. I mean, like it says, before we started recording, Jay, we were speaking about obviously the performance on Saturday, and personally I kind of thought we weren't the better team against St Johnston, but we got the victory. We weren't the better team in that game against Motherwell there, and we got what we deserved in my eyes. But see if we can go to Aberdeen and not be the better team, but just sneak that wee victory, then that's us. That is us. And then I'm telling you, we could still get Europe. We'll still get Europe. We can. I'm not moving from that hill at all.
No, I agree. I think if we get in the top six, we've got more than a shout.
Why not? Yes. I mean, what you got to lose? If you're in the top six, what you got to lose?
We'd have to play St Mirren at home again, right? If we're in the top six in that scenario. We're Pat probably 4-0 before. They're only... Is it a two-game deficit, maybe? No, one, they got... Aye, two-game deficit, four points, I'm sure. So that's across five games. That's doable, especially if you had the opportunity to play that at home. No, I thoroughly believe a European dream is on if we can get top six. That's what makes this game at Bittodrie or potentially like so massive. Yeah, we need to get there first, though. Yeah, exactly. Maybe getting ahead of ourselves,
but yeah. No, I think we can get there. And I mean, obviously, those other teams in the top six. I mean, like you've touched on there, Ethan. St Mirren, yeah, I think we could beat them. Hearts, we've ran them close every game practically. You know, so there's another game. Killy, it's been just two all draws, so we'll just take the two all draw now. You know, so we've got the point. And then Celtic and Rangers, yeah. Again, it just depends what Dundee team's done. Take what you can. That's it. Take what you can and run. That's pretty much us all summed up, I would assume, unless you guys have got anything else to blether about.
Aye. There's been a couple of announcements come out. The first one, I think I'm going to hand the reins to Ethan for this one, because season tickets are out. I'll pass right over to you.
All right, so obviously it's no secret now, I was approached by the club to do a video for them. I had an absolutely fantastic time doing so as well. to talk about the release of season tickets. And, you know, it is a bit of a shame that all the reaction has kind of went predominantly one way. Thankfully, nothing against the production, because I thought it was quite a decent video, you know, personally. But yeah, the club did a lot of work in releasing decent content for the announcement. And yeah, simply just want to see as many bums on seats next season. I think it'd be such a shame if, you know, on the back of what is a successful season, regardless of what end in the split we're in, that people can be thrown off from coming back to the games next season. So you want to see as much of a dark blue momentum as possible. And I generally feel if we do end the season on a high, then I think folk will come around to it and kind of wait for next season.
That's it. We've got the Super Early Bird promotion on until the 1st of May. So there is time still to get in and get something that what I'd say is a fair price in that one. There are payment plans available. I think there's no better time than now to go for it, you know, because as you've said, the reaction has been a bit, but it doesn't need to be like that. If you get in early and get it at a, you know, the lower end of the cost. But enough about that. I want to go on to my favourite tweet of all time, I think. There was a guy asking you what part of Dundee are you from, and your response was just tremendous. Absolutely superb.
The funny thing is, I think I've only told you about this, Jake. I've actually had that conversation in real life with Simon Ferry, of all people, when I was on Open Goal. He came up to me, because obviously he is from Dundee, and you know, he looked at his eyes lit up when the camera, just after we'd done the show, he goes, so what part of Dundee are you from? And I've just went, oh, Forfar. And it dropped. It looked as if I've just like killed a puppy in front of me. He was mortified. Like, Forfar. Like, it was hilarious. When the boy asked me what part of Dundee I was from, I couldn't fight the urge, the temptation. It had to be done.
The still game meme. Springburn. Fantastic.
Bloody hell, so I'm the only Dundonian on this feckin' pod this week.
Don't out me like that.
This is unacceptable. A Dundee podcast, and what is that? Yeah, 33% of it is Dundee. Fucking hell.
Well, I'm Dundonian on paper. I was born in Dundee, at least.
Absolutely nothing to do with the city. Sorry, guys.
I loved your impression of Simon Ferry. I thought it was actually quite accurate.
I've just done that unconsciously.
Dundee from
Why are you fair? Superb.
Well, obviously, impression on the podcast.
It was a very good impression, I must admit. I think I might send it to him. Let him hear it. But obviously, because Mr. Smith is not here, as is clearly obvious, the swine didn't put out a Q&A. Shockeroony. But yours truly, believe it or not, is bringing back the little D archive segment.
Fantastic. He's done research, he's done notes.
I've done the lot.
The viewers can't see it, but I'm doing knee slides in my room right now. This is tremendous.
It was my favourite part of the bloody podcast, but it just disappeared. So I've brought it back, and we're going to start with a good one. Well, obviously they're all going to be good ones, but this one's a really good one in my eyes. So April the 8th, 2015. Ringing any bells?
Maybe, if you tell me what happened.
Oh, I might know this. 2015?
Yep.
It was beating United, wasn't it, to get in the top six, the first win in a decade?
Correct, El Mundo. Yeah. Dundee 3, Dundee United 1. Greg Stewart opened the scoring with an absolute screamer that trundled through Szczesniak's legs. That was absolutely stupendous. And then Big McPake with a thunderous header. And then they got that penalty. Remember when Shifty was blowing the kisses and that to Scott Bain? You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And then, it went 1-0 and then 2-1. But then Big Heffernan with the third.
You know, my favourite part for that game is Kevin Thompson controlling the ball in the line. that they have a header for a corner or something, just controls the ball in line and passes it away as if it's none, as if he's not on the goal line. I totally forgot
about that. Thank you very much for reminding me, because that was beauty. Beauty. Calmness personified.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure Danny actually had a post after that game with the Bonnets page, and it was the picture of Chifchi blowing the kisses, and it just says, "Can we all send kisses back to him?" And I was one of many comments, like with the kissing emoji and tagging him. And yeah. To this day, I'm still blocked from the Dear Chifchi as a result of that post from Danny.
Oh, yeah. You're blocked from him. God. Only saps do the blocking, anyway. But we'll go into April the 9th. I didn't actually write down the date for this one, believe it or not. But it was a Scottish Cup quarter-final replay, a 4-1 victory against Falkirk. Goals from Caballero, Burchill, and two from Lovell. And believe it or not, Dundee assistant manager Stuart Taylor scored for Falkirk. Bit useless information for you. There you are.
There's a screamer as well.
This is unbelievable, me doing research, yeah.
I'm speechless.
So am I. I honestly don't know what to say. 10th of April, we've went for, it was the old Division 1 back in 1972, and it was Dundee 2, Rangers 0. And the goals came from Ian Scott and George Stewart. So a nice wee repeat of that on Wednesday, guys. That would be absolutely spectacular, if you're listening.
I don't know if George Stewart will be in the same condition to do that again, to be honest with you.
Probably not. You never know, though. You never know. The wonders of modern medicine nowadays, you know. Anyway, the 11th of April, this was actually en route to winning the league championship last season. Dundee beat Raith Rovers 3-1. Two goals from Zachy Robinson and one from Jakubiak. There we go.
That was one of the wettest nights you've ever seen. It was like monsoon levels of rain. We were sitting, or we were standing rather, out the way because the rain was so heavy. Because we sat down the front of the cock, so we had to stand up at the back. But the pitch held up.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, the pitch was perfect. Honestly, perfect. Absolutely. Like a bowling green.
Was bowling that the game where they did the shoe shine celebration?
That probably.
It was mimicked in the Champions League shortly afterwards.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I think you're right.
The trend center.
You guys have got really good memories. I don't remember any of that. It's probably because I have copious amounts of alcoholic beverages before I entered Dens Park. But anyway, 12th of April, what have we got? 1970, Hearts 1, Dundee 3. Two goals from Gordon Wallace and one from Jockey Scott, of all people. And then we're going to the 13th of April. We've got 2002, St Johnstone 0, Dundee 1, and the goal scorer was Savo Milne. Now, when I looked at this on the D-Archive, I'm sure the attendance at this game was only like 2,900. What the hell's that all about? Back in 2002. Was unbelievable.
Was it at Dens?
No.
Not at McDermott?
Yeah.
That explains it.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. That was a very, very low amount. Anyway, what have we got? Last one. Here we go. 14th of April. It was 1982, and it was Dundee 3, Rangers 1. Two goals from Ray Stephen and one from Ian Ferguson. Same again, fantastic, guys. A nice wee repeat of that on Wednesday would be wonderful.
Lovely.
Ray Stephen would be up for it.
He definitely would.
You don't lose it.
But that's pretty much it, guys. That is us all done and dusted, I think. Unless you guys have anything else to add?
No, I can only apologise for this. Sorry, guys. Danny, when are you coming back, bud? Come on.
Listen, thank you very much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Obviously, a big shout-out to our sponsor, Hilltown Joinery, Hilltown Electrical. And, yeah, we'll no doubt speak to you all next week. Thanking you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.